random guy joked at Afro's Chicken. If you don't know where Afro's Chicken is, you're not a Durbanite. And I think the Nando's owner might kill me, but it's the best chicken. Very unhealthy, but the best chicken in Durban. And I've had this pack on while having lunch with my in-laws. And this guy walks up to me and he's like, I don't want to make light of an injury, but that's the coolest GoPro kit ever. And I'm like, thanks, bro. But it's not GoPro at all. It looks like it. And the youth keep tuning me, where's your Transformers? It's also not Transformers. I might sit down on the chair just now. Depends on how long this back's going to last. But let's just pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you so much that we're able to come and worship you tonight. I just pray, Lord, that you will speak to us through your word and allow our eyes to be opened by it. In the name of Christ, our Lord, we pray. Amen. It's interesting, when I wrote the sermon, the first line says, a few weeks ago, I preached on John chapter 3 with Nicodemus, but this is now a couple of months later. But when we read through John chapter 9, there are a few things we need to pick up on. In John chapter 3, Jesus responds to Nicodemus and says that you will see the kingdom of God if you're born again. So tonight I'm just going to spend some time around that seeing the kingdom of God. And I've picked John chapter 9 to help us with that. We're going to get to the reading of the actual chapter just now, so you can keep your finger close to verse 27. But I'm just going to tell the rest of the story for you in kind of just a narrative form. In John chapter 9, we find a few characters: Jesus, a blind man, and the Pharisees. Now, Jesus heals this blind man. And you might recall the story from Sunday school. And in my notes, it said that I'm going to have sand here and spit and do a whole skit. But I realized that I'm going to have to clean my hands somewhere, because touching an iPad with sand and spit is not going to work. So just imagine that for a brief moment. We can. There's a lot of sand in there and a lot of water. So afterwards, if you feel that way inclined to, and you might really want to do that, is to just put some dirt on your face and wash it off in the fountain. It's not the fountain of Shalom. It's just the Durban North Baptist fountain. But that's what happens. As this blind man comes to Jesus, and he was born blind, and he wants to see. And Jesus goes down on his knees and takes a bit of dirt and spits into his hand and creates like a little lotion with his hand, and puts it on the blind man's eyes and tells the blind man, go to the pool of Siloam and wash your face and you will see again. And he does it. And he can see. And you just imagine this. And you can't, because all of us here were born with sight. But like, if you close your eyes for a very, very long time, you might understand, but we don't. And this young man kind of opens up his eyes and he can see for the first time. And you can kind of pick up from the story that his friends are like, are you sure it's that guy? That guy that used to beg outside our homes and ask us for food and that kind of thing. And eventually he tells him, yes, it's me, I can see. And the interesting thing happens, and it'll probably happen today if that happened like at our church, is the oaks question him and ask him, who did it? How did it happen? Because maybe we can sample your DNA or sample the lotion and sell it and make a lot of money. But that doesn't happen. He gets dragged to church and dragged in front of the pastors and the elders. And we have to explain this. And we want to pick up the story from just around about there, where this young man stands in front of the pastors and says, Jesus healed me and I can now see. And the pastors are like, so obviously this was a really big church, because they don't recognize the guy. And they have to call his parents in to just check him out. And the parents were like, yeah, this is our son, He was born blind. And they question the parents. And the parents are like, we don't know. Ask him. He's old enough. And they question him and drill him. And I think this guy must have been a teenager because his response is very cocky. And if you read his response to the pastors and the elders, or Pharisees at the time, you know, I can imagine the Pharisees getting quite uptight with this guy. Let's pick it up from verse 27. The Pharisees ask him, so who healed you? Sorry, verse 24. And his response is, for a second time, from verse 24, they called in the man who had been born blind and told him, God should get glory for this, because we know that this man Jesus is a sinner. I don't know whether he's a sinner, the man replies, but I know this, I was blind and now I can see. But what did he do? They asked. How did he heal you? And now you can just see the hip. Hey, you see the hip, like teenage hip. Look, you know, okay, well, let's get back to the story. Okay, but just, like, imagine that. I can just see it, like, arrogant, like, look, dudes, like, are you guys, like, silly? Look, the man exclaimed, verse 27, I told you once, didn't you listen? Why do you want to hear it again? Do you want to become his disciples too? Now, then they cursed him and said, you are his disciple, but we are the disciples of Moses. We know God spoke to Moses, but we don't even know where this man comes from. And once again, a great young adult teenage response. Why, that's very strange. Like, hello? It's in the penny drop. Like, these pastors are cooked, man. Well, that's very strange. Verse 30. The man replied, he healed my eyes, and yet you don't know where he comes from. We know that God doesn't listen to sinners, but he's ready to hear those who worship him and do his will. Ever since the world began, no one has been able to open the eyes of someone born blind. If this man were not from God, he couldn't have done it. And now this makes the elders quite upset. You were born a total sinner, they answered. And you're trying to teach us? And they threw him out of the church, the synagogue. When Jesus heard what had happened, he found the man and asked, do you believe in the Son of Man? The man answered, who is he, sir? I want to believe in him. You have seen him, Jesus said, and he is speaking to you. Yes, Lord, I believe, the man said, and worshiped Jesus. Then Jesus told him, I entered this world to render judgment, to give sight to the blind, and to show those who think they see that they are blind. Some Pharisees were standing nearby, heard him, and asked, are you saying we're blind? If you were blind, you wouldn't be guilty, Jesus replied. But you remain guilty because you claim you can see. Who do you relate to in the story? Let's just focus on the man born blind for a brief moment. In a modern day context, it could be a physical blindness or an intellectual, emotional, spiritual blindness. Now for some of us here tonight, you were actually born blind, intellectually, spiritually. Where you were born into a family who didn't know anything about Christ or Jesus at all. Or you were born into a family where intellectually, like, you weren't as sharp as tool in the shed. Or you were born into a family where you barely scraped through the month. Where that's all you know and all you've ever seen. And you're kind of blinded by opportunities out there and by what God actually wants for you. Or you could be born physically blind. And I think for most of us here tonight, that's not the case. But you could be born into a life, into a world that doesn't know God at all. And you grow up with that and you think it's normal. But somewhere along the line, this blind man tried to find the answer. He tried to find the cure. He goes searching for Jesus because he heard about this guy with his miracle cure. He didn't think it was going to be spit and mud. He was hoping it would be a transplant or some funky laser technology. But it wasn't. Jesus used mud to heal this blind man. And the amazing thing is when we read the text, is when he sees, he is overjoyed because now he can see for the first time. He can see past his circumstances. He can see past what life has dealt him. And he realizes there's so much more out there. See, the man born blind, this guy had little knowledge of Christ. You can pick that up from him telling the Pharisees, never since the world began has anyone been able to open the eyes of someone blind. If this man were not from God, he couldn't do it. So it's scary that this young man lived in church. Probably like in the back behind a screen door because he's a sinner. He was born blind. Have you been born blind? How many how-to programs have you tried? How many churches, songs, pastors, degrees, jobs have you tried to cure your blindness? The blind man tells us that you and I will search for all eternity long. But we won't find anyone like Jesus. Only Jesus can give you the big picture. Only Jesus can give you full sight. There's no one who fully understands what you need and what the people around you need than Christ. The difficult part of this passage is a lot of people ask us, was this man born blind because of his sin? And even the Pharisees and other people ask that question. And it's a difficult question for us to answer. But I believe the answer lies in this man was born blind to glorify God. And that's a hard pill to swallow. I was born into an abusive family where a dad abused me many times. If someone had to tell me that, Jan, sorry, but you were born into that situation because you've got to give God glory. At that point in time when my dad was punching me in the face, I would probably punch that person in the face who told me that. But in that moment, I couldn't see any further than my pain and my suffering. And I think for most of us, some of us, that is the case. We get born into a situation, and in that moment, it's very difficult to understand that you're placed in there to give God the glory. Because when He takes you out of that moment and uses that moment to shape and form your life so that you can transform other lives, maybe become the doctor that heals people's sight with laser technology. And God used your upbringing for His glory. And in this case, the blind man has received sight, and other people around him are like, who is this Jesus? We would like to get to know Him. And boom, God's name is glorified. In hindsight, for the blind man, there is glory. But in that moment, it is really, really difficult to understand. So maybe you're born into a certain situation, a certain job, a certain calling, a certain family, only for God to show the world His glory in and through that situation. So hear this, friends. There is hope in your suffering. There is hope beyond your circumstances for God to do wonderful things in and through you. Now the other person, people in the story, are those born with sight. Those were, the moment you were born, the whole church were right there. They prayed for you. In some cases, in some churches, they would dunk you underwater, although maybe just a little cross in your forehead. In other churches, like we do, we just dedicate the child. But we bring that child up in the faith. So we go to Sunday school and we teach them all the Bible stories. This one where they can play with mud and the parents hate us because the kids come home dirty. That's a lesson for Sunday school. You can use it and blame the youth pastor. It's fine. But they brought up in the faith. They go to youth. In some churches they go to confirmation. Other churches that we then dunk them in a heated pool, which is an amazing experience. And it's an outward sign of an inward transformation. And it all happens. And they decide to become accountants or pastors or pilots or doctors. And they love God deeply. And then one day, a previously blind man, a man the world would label a sinner, comes in through these doors. And the person who has known God all their life kicks them out. It says, God heals like that, using mud and spit. And that's funky stuff. We don't allow that here. Please leave. Do you relate with those kind of people that reject sinners? Reject people who have come to experience the love of God for the first time in their life? Or do you follow the example of Christ? That when a person who never ever heard anything about the love of God walks through those doors, or through the doors of your home, your office, your school, walks into pick and play with you, and they see the love of God in your life, and they go, can you tell me and show me how to live like you do? Can you help me see the kingdom of God? And God goes, yeah. Yes, God wants to use us, friends, to change this world, where all people can see the kingdom of God. John's been preaching in the mornings over the Lord's Prayer. Why on earth would Jesus teach us to pray this very line, your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven, if it wouldn't ever happen? If it was impossible. He wouldn't. He teaches us that prayer, your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven, so that you and I can partner with God and help those who have never seen Him before come to see Him for the first time. And those who think that they've seen Him repent and come to Him again. Jesus challenges both of the characters in the story. Challenges the blind man, come, I will teach you. And He teaches him. Gives him the details behind the healing. That He is the Son of God. The all-powerful Son of God. Able to give sight to the blind. But He also teaches the Pharisees. Those who think they know everything about God. That, hey, maybe go and read through the words of Moses again. Because they speak about Jesus Christ. Maybe you've missed the plot. So tonight, you might find yourself sitting in the blind man camp where you're like, I haven't experienced this love of God yet, ever before. But I would like to check it out. Allow God to open up your eyes tonight so that you can see His love for the first time like never before. And I promise you, out of my own experience, it is the best decision you'll ever make. Because you see this world through different eyes. I look at the abusive family that I lived in through very different eyes because of Christ. Because of Christ and what He has shown me, I've been able to forgive my father and reconcile with him at a distance for a very good reason. But I've been able to forgive him because I've been able to see the love of God, the unconditional love of God. But I must tell you that it was because of the unconditional love of people in the church that helped me realize the unconditional love of God. So if you're sitting here tonight And like the Pharisees, you say, but I have known God all my life. That is fantastic. Make sure that you never lose heart of why you love God and why He loves you. So that others can see His love in and through you and come to see this world through the eyes of God. And so that you and I, in our generation, can see the kingdom of God come. Wouldn't it be awesome to see Jesus come? Do you want sight? Maybe the more important question to ask is, are you blind? And if you are, Jesus can make you see again. Let's pray together. Oh, Heavenly Father, we